So the reading today is from Judges 6, verse 12 to 14. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks for that, Amy. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that we can once again come into your house and just dwell in your word this evening, Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit fills this place and we get a real sense of your presence. May you just fall on me, Lord, and just give me lips to speak your message, and may you just fill the room with ears to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. So, how many times do we go about our lives and we see and hear stories about some of the awe-inspiring works that God does for us, yet how long does it actually take us to trust that he actually knows what he's doing? I'm not meaning like this sort of surface-level trust that, you know, we as Christians all have, you know, that one day the Lord's going to come back and heaven's gates will be thrown open to all those who repent. But I'm meaning like an immediate trust for the now. Don't get me wrong, you know, those things are vital to us as Christians. You know, that's all stuff that's pivotal to what we believe in. But that's all things that happen for our hope for the future. It's not right now. Yeah, so those are things that are for the future. This isn't to do with the trust that we have in God now and things he's going to do in our lives today. This trust that God knows all those little insecurities and the nitty-gritty bits of our lives. And yet, despite all that, we can be 100% confident to know that despite these gritty bits, God has the right person for the job when he calls into doing things. So what I'd like to spend some time this evening is just taking some time to think about and consider kind of how this confidence that God has for us translates into our lives today. So we're jumping into Judges at a point where once again the Israelites have done evil in the eyes of the Lord. By this point we're becoming ever more familiar with these words, because no matter what God does to insert himself into these situations, the Israelites just aren't quite getting it. They've been building more false idols, which in turn has brought about this another intense oppression, this time from the Midianites. And from this, it's left them in a real pitiful decline. They've been forced to live in the hills and in the mountains and the caves, and their crops are being taken from them as fast as they're being planted, really. Their livestock have been stolen or slaughtered, and their entire land has been laid to waste. Israel's means of sustenance has just been obliterated. God's people have found themselves in dire straits, and once again they're going to the Lord and they're calling for help. This is the point where we enter our hero. The warrior of faith, this protector of the people and the liberator of the land and whatever other alliteration you want to kind of put forward. But here we come to Gideon. So he's the fifth leader in the book of Judges. We read about Gideon, who's actually the youngest member of his family. And we see a lot of parallels with another real great leader that we've seen already in the Bible, and that's Moses. So both of them were Israelites. Both of them lived under the oppression of a foreign power. Both were working for their fathers at the time when God met them. Okay, so Moses was with his father-in-law, but close enough. And both required a sign to be convinced of the encounter that God had with them. And then finally, both had this miraculous event with fire. It's almost like between the two of them, God had this amazing 5-point plan for producing a leader. And the similarities between the two already tell us that God has some real great stuff planned for Gideon. The expectation for us is that Gideon's going to do some amazing things. But as we continue to read, though, despite this 5-point plan that God has in place, it's really evident that both leaders have one thing that kind of they're lacking. And that's a real confidence in themselves. Confidence in what they can do in their own ability. So we need to understand as Christians, well, I'm sure we understand as Christians, that the strength and the confidence we get to do our jobs and the things that God's calling us into doesn't come from our own abilities alone. It comes from the gifts that God's give us. But with both Moses and Gideon, as the Lord came to each of them with an instruction, he came to them and told them something that they can do, and they only had one response, and what that was. That was, "No, I can't do that." How many times do we find ourselves in the same place of struggle in our own lives? I know for myself, this is something that I always struggle with on a weekly basis. I often wrestle with these things that God's asking me to do, because I just don't feel like I have the confidence in myself to do them. I find that I have to take a step back and look at the situation that God's calling me into, and try and not lose his confidence in the ability that God's given me. There have been many times over the last year while I've been doing my degree that I know that God's prompted Andy into throwing me into things I'm completely out of my comfort zone with. And we find this hard. You know, this idea that the things that God's calling us into, we're going to struggle with. It's a hard thing for us to wrestle with. We as Christians like to believe that God's going to call us into doing something and we're going to have this abundance of strength and confidence and power and we're just going to jump into it feet first. But often, like Gideon, we try and find things to justify why we can't do it. Gideon says he's the youngest of his family. There are people who are bigger and greater than what he can do. Or we often think that, oh, maybe what I've heard from God isn't what God was actually saying. I've misheard him. Something that I know a lot of people struggle with around their work is that, oh, God's given me something, but there's a lot on my plate at the minute, so God will understand if I don't have to do that right now. My personal favourite, actually, that I use quite a lot, especially when Andy's trying to throw me into these situations, is, well, Andy, I'm an introvert, so I can't do that possibly. It's too hard for me to do. God gives us these instructions, like I say, and he gives us them with this hope that we're going to grab hold of it, and that we're going to grab hold of it with this fire and this passion that, you know, he intended us to do it with. He trusts that when he gives us these things, he's giving us the ability to do it, regardless of what we think and feel ourselves. But the great thing about that is that God also realizes that we're human. When we get to those points where we're not quite sure what we can do, and we get those little niggles of doubt and those split seconds of human weakness, and they come into our lives and they get the better of us, and this fire and this passion that God's given us is something very quickly just dwindles down into not much more than an ember. But never fear, friends, because God is not a God who gives up on us so easily. He doesn't see that doubt in our lives and goes, oh, I'm done, we'll move on to something else. He sticks at it. We've got this God that he doesn't give up on us at the drop of a hat. Like Gideon, no matter how we think and feel about ourselves, Gideon had a lack of confidence and was really unsure about what he could do. But God stuck with it, because at the end of the day, Gideon was nothing more than what God declared he would be. And that was his mighty warrior. Amy just read for us that passage from verses 12 to 14, and it starts out by saying, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. It doesn't say, the Lord is with you, meek and mild Gideon. What's more important about that, though, is that we can also go into this declaration that God has on our lives without any sense of pressure. Because as I said, God knows that we're inhuman. He understands that we have all these little insecurities and these anxieties, because that's exactly how he made us. He didn't make us in the womb without all these things that we're going to experience in our lives that we're going to struggle with. And yet, despite this thing, God's confident that whatever he calls us into, he has the right person for the job. You know, when God called me into doing my degree a year ago, he didn't say, oh, Chris might be the person to do this. If not, don't worry, I've got someone else lined up. He said, no, Chris is the person to do this. He might not be very good at it, but he will get there. But through God's confidence in him, Gideon was able to find confidence in himself. And as we continue through chapter 6, we get to verses 34 and 35, and God's given Gideon this ability to rally his people. You know, he's gone about the land, he's used his trumpet, and he's managed to muster an army that's to such an extent that he's able to contend with the Midianite people. Gideon was almost on the verge of being at a point where he could win that in confidence in himself. It doesn't say exactly how many people there were, but we know there were thousands and thousands of people, enough to take on the Midianite forces and claim back their land. And I've seen enough movies to know that that victory would have been spectacular. It wouldn't have been some small thing. God would have built up Gideon's power and their forces would have taken on the Midianites and they would have been done. And yet, one morning Gideon wakes up, gusto in his brain and ready to take on the Midianites and ready to win back his land for him. But he wakes up to a conversation from God. And as I was reading through, looking at this passage, I kind of feel like this conversation went a little bit like this. Gideon would have woken up and he would have gone, morning, God. Morning, Gideon. How are you? Yeah, I'm good. The army we've got outside is looking pretty good at the minute, isn't it? Yeah, it's looking great. What's the problem? It's too many men, Gideon. It's just too many people out there. I actually think that out of the whole of Judges 6 and 7 that I was reading through, that was actually my favourite part of this story. Because I love this idea of Gideon waking up and being all hyped up and on fire for his victory, and God just walking in and going, nope, not today. And what's even more spectacular is that God doesn't delay these proceedings because he doesn't think Gideon can do it. As I say, God has confidence in Gideon and this victory is almost guaranteed. It is guaranteed. There's no almost about it. But God realizes that if he lets Gideon do what he was about to do, he wouldn't truly understand why he would have won his victory. or how he would have won it. You know, I'm certain that Gideon would have woken up and looked and perused the land and looked upon all the men that he had in front of him, and he would have had this wry little smile on his face as if to say, yeah, I think we've got this. I don't think the Midianites can stand this. And then God kind of steps in and goes, no, you don't have this. You might have the men, but you don't have this at all. But I do. Don't worry. I had a moment of realization like this while I was away studying at Ridley this week. I was talking to one of the lecturers about one of my assignments that I've got coming up. And it's quite a difficult assignment. I'm not looking forward to it. It's on quite a diverse topic. And I'm not really sure exactly what I'm going to write for it. So I was kind of struggling a little bit. But the lecturer who I was speaking to, I was just saying to Andy, he's such a fantastic guy. He's got these little glasses and this wire hair. He looks like a mad professor, if I'm honest. But he's such a lovely guy. And his way of expressing things and expressing the word of God to people is just amazing. And he pointed me towards his passage, Mark. And as I was reading this passage, I sort of went away, thought about it, prayed about it. And as I was reading this passage in Mark in my room one evening, it really hit home. It's a small passage. All it says is that these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, and no money in your belt. Now, I know that there's a wider context for that passage. It's not an isolated thing. But it got me thinking about all the unnecessary stuff that I bring with me when God calls me into things. You know, Gideon was ready to win his battle. He was confident in what he could do. He was confident in what God was calling him into. But he had this stuff. Granted, it was stuff that God gave him. Don't get me wrong. All the things that I'm worried about with my assignments and with my prep and things, God has pushed that stuff onto me. But it is just extra stuff. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to sort of just offer some time for reflection. I know some people have taken out a sort of coffee break to kind of just spend some time thinking about the things that God's putting on our heart. But what I'd actually like is to spend some time thinking about all that extra stuff that we bring into our callings. You know, what's the stuff that we need to shave off to make sure that we give God the glory and not give the glory to our own ability? Because that's what Gideon would have done. Gideon would have gone out, he would have demolished the Midianites, and he would have won back his land, and he would have stood there and gone, look at me, I'm so great, look at the power that we have behind us. And then God would have been stood behind him going, because it wasn't Gideon that did it. It would have been God that had done it. So if I could invite the band back up for me, and what they're going to do is they're just going to just play a little bit over us. And while they do that, I just want to leave you with one final thought. And that is that when God calls us into these things that we feel so unqualified to do, these things that we're not entirely sure whether we've heard God right, what is that extra stuff that you bring into it? Whether it's your own sense of inflated confidence maybe, or maybe it's a lack of confidence. How big of an army do you have with you to feel that you can do it before God has to say no? We need to take that army away so that you can be confident in me and not yourself. Having assurance in your ability is good, but I suppose the point I'd like to say this evening is that don't let that assurance come between your dependence on God. Don't let your own assurance get in the way of you standing back and saying, yeah, God's got this for me. Don't let it get in the way of realizing that it's not you that does it. It's God's power that does it for you. So, Father God, if we just spend a few minutes in prayer to you, Lord, we just pray that you really highlight those things in our lives that take off our gaze from you, Lord. There are so many things that distract us from the truth that it's your power that guides us. It's your might that gets us through our days. It's your strength that carries us on. So, Father, would you just spend a few minutes before we continue in our worship, just really lift up those things in our minds, Lord. Highlight those things that you want us to get rid of. Highlight those things that you